So we sing the song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And you know, it's to build on "What a Mighty God We Serve," we just need to look every once in a while at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all it took was speaking a word, and it came into existence. We have scientists today that can break it down of how it all works together. God didn't need it back then. He just spoke, and it happened. And it has continued. And I'm glad God's in control of it all. When we hear that we have all this global problems and global warming and climate change and wondering how long this is going to last, you know how long it's going to last? God told us back in Genesis, while the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be summer and winter. There's going to be night and day. It won't cease till God says for it to cease. I'm glad he's in control of all things. I'm continuing to think about our mind, the things that we think about, the library of our mind, and the folders that we have in there. If you were to look at this past week, what has been the biggest folders of your mind? What things do you think about? You know, we can get on the news, get to listening to the news, and it could be that the war over in Israel is the biggest thing that consumes our thinking, or politics, or I can tell you, I have had times in the past at presidential election times that my mind gets in such a turmoil about all the news that I hear about this one and all that, to where if I had to go back this morning as I was coming to meeting, my phone, I don't know if yours does it, but my phone will tell me, and why it does it on Sunday morning, I don't know, but it says your weekly usage of this phone is down 27%. Or, you know, it could say next week, "Ooh, you've really increased your usage on this phone." What if the Lord had categories for our thinking and could tell us maybe Sunday morning, this past week, your mental thoughts have been mostly in these folders? You know, we can't argue with the Lord about where our thoughts have been. They're private from everybody else. But I don't know about you, but 2 o'clock in the morning, when I wake up, it's amazing where your thoughts can run. There's not a thing you can do about the problems that you need to solve at work the next day when you're thinking about them at 2 o'clock in the morning. To go on back to sleep and take care of them the next day, but instead they just churn over and over in your head. And if it's not that, it's other things. You know what? We're going to need the Lord to be able to help us. It's easy to read that little scripture over there. Wes says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know where those strongholds are? It's mostly in my head. It starts in my head. You know, we see a lot of scriptures that talk about down in the heart. You know how it got down in the heart? It passed through my head first. I spent some time thinking about it, and then it became a part of my heart. So I'm finding more and more it's real important for me to be honest with myself and ask the Lord, "Lord, would you show me the library of my mind, where my thoughts are going, and help me to put them in the right place?" So I have a folder that I'm thinking about. Got a lot of reason to think about it. How often do you think about heaven? How big is my folder of heaven? You know, when you look in the Bible to find scriptures about heaven, there's not very many. Heaven is going to be, us to understand what heaven is going to be, is going to take faith. Yes. I was reading about this, said you will find a lot more scriptures warning you about hell than telling you about what heaven really is. Yes. It's going to take faith for me to believe it. But why is it important for me to work on my mental folder about heaven? Because I got to have something to compare all of the troubles of this life with. if I don't have anything to compare it with, these troubles become my biggest mental folder. Thinking about all the things that are happening to me. But I found something. If I will let heaven be a large folder in my mind, here's what I do. At work, I get paid every other Wednesday. And in between those Wednesdays, sometimes I can get some jobs that I really wish I didn't have to do. But you know what helps me a whole lot when I'm doing the job? Yes. I have a calendar in my office that has X's on it. Those X's are payday. Okay, here's the 9th. On the 15th, you get a check. Go out there and take care of that problem. It's not too big now. Mm-hmm. Payday is coming. Yeah. I really think if we would build this folder, you know, because heaven is a reality, the same as this life is a reality. Yeah. It's kind of hard to imagine the transition from this life to the next in a second. Brother Ulysses Phillips got a little glimpse of it when he said, "There light and life without an end into eternity shall blend." It's not just, you know, Psalm 409 talks about a crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. You know what? There's a lot of folks that end their life with a crashing of ages when they now face eternity. But it was never intended to be that way. It was intended that I live my life toward just blends. It's kind of like merging traffic. There's a lot of cars on this road, but you can just merge right in and keep on going. I believe the Lord has for us today to be able to have a folder of heaven, the joys of heaven, what it's going to be like, to where we'll be able to take the troubles that we face here and realize, you know what? Let me face them. Just a few more days, yes, is payday. So I think about a verse over in Revelations 2 and 10. It says, "Be faithful until death." Who knows when that is? None of us. But what it's doing is just saying, be faithful to then, and I will give you a crown of life. You know, we sing a song, we've sung it before, the song Farther Along. It says, "Toils of the road will then seem like nothing when we sweep through those beautiful gates. Farther along," it says, "farther along we'll understand why." You know what I think? When we step over into heaven, that part will change. Farther along, we won't care why. That would be the least. I hear sometimes people say, "I'll tell you what, I've got some questions. I'm going to ask God why he did what he did." I think if I get there, I'm not going to have any questions. I'm just going to be so glad to be there. Farther along, we'll know all about it. No. I think farther along, I think Dad today, he doesn't have any whys. Mm-mm. He's not saying, "Why did you do anything?"
No.
If we could just, you know, we're living in this life to where it's hard to be able to have that mental folder. And I think the Lord would like for us to come to a place where it's more vivid in my mind, the reality of it,
yes,
to where I don't let anything cause me to miss it. And, you know, we don't have to be talking about sin. We can talk about just disappointments that come into our life that become the biggest folder in our mind. When the Lord, I believe, would like for us to be able to see the prize that is waiting for us. And I think somehow Paul was able to do that. I was looking at a verse over here in Acts, the 20th chapter. You know, he's saying, there is some things out ahead of me. I know it is. He said, 22nd verse of the 20th chapter, "I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me." You know, if the Lord told you, tell you what, you got troubles coming out here ahead of you, that would be pretty easy for that to be the biggest folder in my mind of thinking about all the troubles that have come to me. But instead, what did he say? None of these things move me. He had his mind on something else. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Finish his course. He must have saw something right at the end of that course that stayed in his mind. What supported Paul? I think the same thing would like to be able to support us. Maybe we won't be like him to where over in the 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter said there was a time when he was caught up to paradise. What would that have been like? You know, I wonder if the Lord would like to give us some little visions. It doesn't have to be just what his is. But I think the more I think about heaven and what it must be like, I believe the Lord would like to open the curtain a little better for me. Because he was caught up to paradise, boy, that'd be some wonderful thinking.
Yes.
But he wasn't there yet. He came back to living. And he had troubles in his life. Had a thorn in the flesh that he wanted rid of. You know what we'd like to have? We got some thorns in the flesh every once in a while ourselves. Troubles that come to us in our life. It can be other people. It can be health. It can be so many things. But I think he was able to look back to this that awaits him.
Yes.
And when the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you, instead of that getting him down, he rose up on top of it. So I see this when we look at Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. You know, the world is still trying to figure out how all this came into existence. The Big Bang Theory and those other things. This one just gives about three or four words. By faith we understand it. We see how it came to be. You know what? I think there's also some other things that we can understand. I look over there in John, the 14th chapter. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you know, we can only imagine what that place is. He prepared this place for us at the beginning of creation, and it has been a beautiful place. I think of some of the places that we have visited. Go to Colorado and look at the things that God made. I believe he made them just for us to start singing that song, How Great Thou Art, to realize how great he is. And when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back again and receive you to myself, I believe he wants us to focus our attention more on what that must be. What will it be to be there? Because when we do that, if he prepared this for us, and it's only for 80 years, what must heaven be like? There is, because here's what we'll do. The same as on my job, when I have a rough job to take care of, but I can remember payday, it has the same effect as when Satan brings something to me, discouraging or whatever, a root of bitterness or whatever, that I would hold the two together and say, okay, I got this and I got this. If I don't have this to view, then all I got is this that's on my mind, the troubles and the things that I'm faced with. But I've heard this song, I would never miss seeing Jesus. You know, there's some things that can come to us in life that if we don't take them the right way, we can miss seeing Jesus at here and there. That song said, I've never missed seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. I would never trade forever. You know, part of this vision that I need to have of heaven, this life seems long if I get to live 80 years. But you know what? If I get the vision that Paul had, 80 years compared to this, there's no comparison. I got to make it.
Yes.
I got to make heaven my home. I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I would never miss heaven for the world. Anything that the devil has to offer me over here, that I have a vision of heaven, I got to make it. I want to make it. Here's a verse over in 1 Corinthians. I think there's some special things that salvation has for us here. And I think that's probably what this verse is talking about. But I believe it can be applied to heaven also. 2:9 of 1 Corinthians. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I think salvation is part of those things. We have not tapped into everything here that God's prepared for us in the plan of salvation. And the ways that he wants to be able to help us as we yield ourselves more to him. But I think this thing stretches on out into eternity. Our eye hath not seen. And probably that's why we don't have a real big description of what heaven is like. John tried to give us a picture of it, streets of gold and all these things. And I'm not real impressed with fancy things. But that's just the best vision that he could get of something really, really nice. What I really like about is when I read over there that it says, there will be no tears,
yes, amen.
No disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty valuable right there. Because, boy, there's a lot of disappointing things can happen to us in this life. What we don't want to let them do is for those things to get us down.
Amen.
Let's make heaven our home. There is another verse over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Because it's letting us know we really don't know a lot about that. It says, behold, 3rd chapter of 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. The world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So when I see that, that's just enough to let me know it's going to be better than anything that I could have ever expected.
Amen.
I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, we try to think about what was the transition for Dad or for anyone else that has recently in our mind that we know of that has just crossed over. What was it to be here and then instantly to be there? You know what? We sing that song, what will it be to be there? We can only imagine it, but it's going to be better than anything we could imagine. We sing that song, many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. You know, that tomorrow is just talking about our tomorrows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What about the eternal tomorrow? Many things about the eternal tomorrow, I don't really understand. I don't know what all it'll be. But I know that the one that holds my hand, he has that in control also. And it tells us he's going to wipe away all tears. Tell you what, there's many things I don't understand, but I know there's some troubles over here that he's letting us know there won't be troubles over there. We sing this song sometime. There is coming a day when no heartaches will come, no clouds in the sky, no tears to dim the eye. All is peace for a year or two, forevermore, on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. You know, when Paul took a look, got him a little glimpse of heaven, I think he held that glimpse. And I have wondered, when did he get that glimpse? What was happening in his life? Was life just going along real well when he caught a glimpse of heaven? And then I read of all the troubles that came into his life. And I read the account of when he was stoned to the point that the guys quit throwing rocks because they thought he was dead. And he lay there a while, and he got up and went on to the next town. In fact, it says after he went to that town, I believe it says he came back to this one again to minister to him again a little bit. Wonder when he got this vision. It doesn't tell us. But I tell you, it would have been a fine opportunity for him to have got it while he's laying there and them thinking he was dead. And then he gets up and goes again. The Lord lets him know, I'm not quite through with you yet. But he held that vision, and it helped him for some things. Helped him to be able to measure. And I think it's really important for us to be able to measure. If I don't have heaven as a big folder in my mind, I'm not going to have something to measure against so much. And let me show you that. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. It says, 16th verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. You know, if I don't have a glimpse of what happens when this outward man has perished, that's not the end of it all. My outward man perishing is going to give me a whole lot of troubles in my thoughts. But this one says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Because what is it? By faith we understand there's heaven out here just ahead for me. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Have you ever read about the things that happened to him? How many times he was stoned? How many times he was shipwrecked? How many times he was beaten with 40 stripes, save one? And he says, my light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, his afflictions followed him to the day that they killed him. But he says, it's just for a little moment here. Why is that? I think he had a mental folder of this paradise that awaits. And you know, we don't get the same vision that he had. But I wonder if we could get one that was really, really close. By faith, I see God's got something out ahead for us. Let's hold it close to our heart. I got to make it. And you know what? We're not going to make it just on our own works. I thought about that. I wanted to be very careful yesterday that people that come to the funeral recognize, you know what? It's not by works, lest any man should boast. The works come because of what Christ has done. Yes. We always want to keep that because my works will not save me. Amen. My works come because he saved me. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. But he looks at this and he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. That's the folders that we have of all the troubles that we're going through in our life. The things which are seen, they're temporal. Yes. The things that are not seen are eternal. Yes. And you know what? I believe the Lord would like for us to have a folder of the things that are not seen with our natural eyes, but be able to recognize there's something for me. And then we look at Paul when he ends it up. What does it say? Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. There were some things that he put in God's hands because he didn't ask him, Lord, why are you allowing all these things to happen in my life? What he did do was, here's, it's all ending up now. His life is soon going to be over. Did he say, why, Lord, I'm going to ask you some questions of why you let me have so much troubles? No, here's what he said. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, and in the 6th verse, I am now ready to be offered. You know, wonder, it's going to happen whether he wanted it or not. He's about to die at the hands of other people. But I think he held this vision so close that he recognized the gap between me and that is coming closer and closer. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure, it's at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What would you do with a crown that was given to you by the Lord? What good would it be for you? Would you say, boy, I want you to see how many stars I got on it. I was able to help these people get saved. What does it say? You know, we get just little small glimpses of what heaven must be like. And we got one little glimpse over in Revelations, the fourth chapter toward the end, of what people do with their crowns when they get there. They cast them at the feet of the Lord. Yeah, anything that I was able to accomplish, it wasn't me. Let me give it back to you. There's a song that I heard recently. I've heard it before. All the praises shall be given to my Jesus. For he's the one who picked me up when I was down. Not just down, but down all the way. All the praises go back to Jesus. Brother Ulysses Phillips got another vision. And it came from 2 Corinthians 5:1. We know that if our earthly house shall be dissolved, there's another house awaiting for us. And his song was, I know this earthly house shall fall, but on that golden strand, there's a better home out there waiting for us. He says, and when this earthly house shall fall, I'm going to answer God's command. I'm going to find my house forevermore. It's a house not made with hands. We're going to see some adversity in our lives between here and there. But I want to encourage you, because I want to go home and build it myself. I want to have a folder over here in my mind. We can have today, we can build a large folder of heaven. It's what I think about a lot. Lord, I want to make it to heaven. But you know what? We get to live tomorrow. And we get to diminish that folder, because I added more things in other folders. It can be worries. It can be disappointments. It can be a lot of things. We can build us a folder on the troubles that are happening in our world. And it becomes the biggest thing. It's when I wake up in the morning wondering what the future holds for us. Or I can take that folder and pull all the papers out of it and put one piece of paper with one verse on it. Pray for those that are in authority, that we would be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And here's what I do when that folder opens up to me. I see the verse. I need to say another prayer for our country, for our world, and the directions that it's going. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people spending a whole lot of time with a folder in their mind of what the future holds for us. May God help us each one to build the folder and keep it fresh in our mind. Lord, when I get up in the morning and I see this beauties that you have shown me, help me immediately to think about, if this here is this beautiful, how beautiful heaven must be. What will it be to step over there? That's why I have a whole lot of trouble believing that Satan was ever in heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Because I get a few little glimpses saying there's going to be no tears there. Well, wait a minute. If they had a coup and they had to throw the devil out of there already, that don't sound very pleasant to me. Folks, what we got to realize, for people to be able to believe that, they have to lose sight of how big God is. We read that God is omniscient. He knows all things.
Yes.
Folks, if I have to believe that he is in heaven above and all of us are down here and he sees everything, and you know, we get a lot of verses that tell us, Ecclesiastes, the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How's he doing that? For all generations, he's been able to recognize what people have done, and it's stored, and they're going to give an account for it. And yet we're going to say that he missed watching out for heaven. Heaven's a holy place.
Yes.
It always has been. It always will be. And I'm anxious to be able to see it one day. I want to be faithful. And I'd like for us all to, let's build our folder. Lord, what will it be tomorrow? Days out ahead, what would it be to be there? One thing that is important for me is to start learning what goes on over there. I do find places that say there's a whole lot of praise being given up there. Praise is given to the Lord. And what comes to me is, Dan, I tell you what, if you want to spend eternity up there, start practicing for it down here. This is what's going to happen up there, so you might as well go ahead and practice some here. Sending up praises to God. You know what praises do for us even here when our troubles? It's not about, okay, if I do these things, then he's going to owe me something. No, I'm doing these things to just remind myself of who he is and how big he is. Folks, heaven out there awaits us. It's pure. It always has been. Yes. It's really easy for us. The world wants to dilute it. I have gone to some funerals of people that lived a wicked life. Yes. And they hired a preacher to say they made it to heaven because they believe in Jesus. I hope they did. I hope people are in heaven. You know what? Stephen even said, when the guys were killing him, said, don't lay this sin to their charge. Lord, if this is the only thing that would keep them out of heaven, don't keep them out of heaven. Yes. You know what? I'd love for everybody to make heaven. I want to make it. But I got to realize what it's going to take. What's going to be over there, and what's it going to take for me to be able to make it? I look at faithful people that have lived their life, handed themselves over to God. You know, our list is getting bigger and bigger of people. We don't have to go back to Hebrews 12 and 1, a great cloud of witnesses, and go back to Noah and Abraham. We can go back in the last 10 years of faithful people who lived their life faithfully, stepped over into heaven, and they're now in the cloud of witnesses telling us, come on, you can do it. We don't have to go back into a couple thousand years ago. Lots of things have changed. But you know what? There's faithful people in 2023 that are saying we can make it.
Yes.
I watched it.
Yes.
Over the last few weeks.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing if you've been sick all your life, you're longing to go. Health has been terrible. You may even be asking God, please take me. You know, it's another thing when God has given you 87 years of almost perfect health.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kind of things happen so fast and reduce you from complete independence to now you can't feed yourself. You can't do anything. But you know what? I think he had a vision.
Yes.
Of heaven. And what it's going to take to make the transition from here to there is going to be, I just let my God, his dear purpose, fulfill. Lord, if you want to bring me back. When I remember being there when he first had his trouble and ministers came there to pray for him. They said, what is your request? What would you like? I want to be well. Who wouldn't? You know what? I don't know that I've met anybody that had real good health before and now they're sick. And they say, I'll tell you, I'd like for you to pray for me to die. No, we'd all like to live. And that's what his desire was. But as it went the other way, he committed himself to God. For us to be able to do that, we're going to need to have us a little picture of what it is when I step from this to that.
Yes.
It is going to be so great. Folks, let's be faithful. I'd like for us to sing a song. Number 375, starts out the very first of it says, tell me, watchman, O watt of the morning. And as I looked at that song, I said, well, that's what I've been trying to do these last 30, 45 minutes. What of the morning? What do we see? What do you see as the mist clears away? We behold in its splendor the dawning of a bright and a glorious day. We shall all gather home in the morning when the mist from the hills clears away. And it seems I can see by the dawning that we're nearing the end of the way. None of us know when our end is, but I want to tell you it's going to be a lot more welcoming if I've had me a folder of what's prepared for us. Maybe we can stand and sing number 375.